awesome just to be together in this way. If you have a Bible, open it up to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we are. Debbie so beautifully read the passage. And so we're in this series that we've been in here for a couple of months where we're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. And it's been a really interesting, hard, awesome journey. And the name of the series is Continuing. And it is after a series we did in the book of Acts. And so the letter to the Corinthians by Paul is helping the Corinthian Christians sort out how to live their faith, how to continue in the faith as they've received it in a way that honors and glorifies God. And so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a part of this three-chapter section where Paul's explaining to the Corinthians things related to Christian worship. And today's a really, really important passage of Scripture because Paul is going to instruct the Corinthians on how they can live freely in Christ, but at the same time, keep in mind that their actions in the context of worship and in their Christian lives impact other people. So they get to live freely in Christ while at the same time not allowing that freedom to distract or be something that causes others to stumble. It's the whole section here, and it's a common theme for Paul. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So again, that's what we're talking about here. And here's the main idea of the talk that I'm going to give today. Here's the main idea. When Christians live into their spiritual gifts, the glory of Jesus Christ is put on display. Let me say it again. When Christians live into their spiritual gifts, the glory of Jesus Christ is put on display. Now, I realize that not all of you here would call yourself a Christian, and I'm glad that you're here. And it's an opportunity today for you to look into the Christian faith and see how God instructs us we ought to live. And one of the most remarkable things about Christians and the connection of Christians with one another and the missions of Christians, the mission of Christians in the community, is that we are to put on display the glory of Jesus Christ. And so when you see Christians together and on mission, what you should be seeing is Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to put it on display. And that's what we get to do. We don't always do a great job of that. Sometimes we kind of keep it down. It's not lit up as much. So raise your hand if you plan on putting Christmas lights on your home or apartment or car or whatever, you know. Okay, so a lot of you are. We do it sometimes. Sometimes we don't. I always think to myself, like, what a waste of money, you know. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd have done it. But we were going to go big this year. And so we have this box of Christmas lights, right? So here's a box of Christmas lights all jumbled up, and it's unimpressive, right? I mean, we could say, hey, those are Christmas lights. They're not terribly impressive. I mean, would you just with me boo that box? Would you boo? Yeah, I mean, it's not all that impressive. So I say to you, oh, look at those Christmas lights. You're thinking to yourself like, eh, not a big deal. Sometimes that's how we look at the church. You know, people talk about the church and the Christian church. I'm telling you that it's the glory of Jesus Christ put on display. But sometimes when people hear about or see the church, they're like, eh. I mean, I see the church. I see the people that go to church, but there's nothing really lit up about it. But so this year we went big, and I put lights out on my house, and here's a picture of my home right there. That's my home. And so we've gone big, and so when you look at that, and we're not booing, instead what we're going to, let's go, yeah. So come on over, help me pay my electricity bill. But so this is how we're going to work this passage today, is go, when Christians are living to their spiritual gifts, they are something magnificent, something electric, something beautiful, and it puts on display the glory of Jesus Christ, and that's a life well lived. And it takes this Christian faith from a set of ideas, a set of statements about who Jesus is and what he did and something that happened in history. Spiritual gifts moves it from just a set of ideas or a list of facts. And it actually takes it from the natural thing to the supernatural thing. That's what we're talking about here. The church is to be made up of spirit-empowered human beings who are able to do things that they could not do without the living God dwelling within them. That's pretty awesome. And in Corinth, this group of Spirit-filled Christians had the opportunity to move around in the world with the very living presence of Jesus Christ. We don't want the church to be unimpressive. We don't want the church to be boring. We want the church to be something more than just a social club with a little bit of pop to it. You know, we want the church to be what it was meant to be, and that is to put the glory of Jesus Christ on display. We want it to go from boring to breathtaking. We want it to move from average to awesome. We want it to go from expected to extraordinary, from mediocre to magnificent. That's what spiritual gifts in the life of the church can do for the church. So Paul is addressing this issue among the Corinthians. They, as I mentioned, they had a problem. Some of them were saying their spiritual gifts were more important than the others. Okay, so their problem in Corinth related to spiritual gifts was that the ones that had the more public gifts were behaving in a way that they were saying that they were more important than those that did not have as public spiritual gifts. I'm not sure that that is an issue in our church. Probably more an issue in our church or the church in our day is that people aren't gripped with a sense of responsibility to discover their own spiritual gifts so that they can play their part in the life of the church. It's just easier to attend the church casually, infrequently, or kind of just to dip your toe in the church than it is to go, you know what, I am a part of this living, breathing organism called the Christian church, and I need to discover what my spiritual gifts are. So my hope is for you today that you'll lean in a bit more on what your spiritual gifts are, all right? Everybody with me? Good. So verse 4, we see that there is a variety of spiritual gifts. There's a variety of spiritual gifts that are given by God to Christians for the functioning of the church. We actually operate in such a way that we believe that God has provided all of the gifts needed in our church to accomplish the mission of the church. I don't have to have all the gifts. I don't have very many gifts. I've got a couple of them. And you have gifts. We need all of these gifts, and not one is more important than the other. And one of the things that we as pastors have to do is equip you to use your gifts. But let me just say that you're responsible ultimately for discovering what your spiritual gifts are. And you would say, whoa, 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 no, that's your job as a pastor. No, it's not my job, any more than it is my job to decide for you what clothes you're going to buy or what car you're going to drive, right? None of you called me this morning and said, hey, Russell, what clothes should I put on? And none of you have ever asked me, hey, Russell, I need to buy a car. What car should I need to get from one place to another. What car should I buy, you know? And you have a responsibility. You recognize a responsibility to like dress appropriately and also to get a car to get from your house to your job or whatever. And in the same way, what I'm saying to you, that's even less important than is your responsibility to go, these are my spiritual gifts. I'm trying to kind of push you a little bit and hoping you'll lean in a little bit on that. So Paul gives us a list of these various gifts. Now, I want to say that this list that he gives is specific to the church in Corinth, but it's not the only one in the Bible. So there are other lists. So we have Romans chapter 12 is another list, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Okay, so in case you're taking notes, that's what they are. But let's look at this list, and then I'll talk about kind of the categories of spiritual gifts. Let's look at this list, and I want you to see if you can locate yourself in this list somewhere. All right, so in verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, oh, this is getting fun, to another prophecy, oh, that's getting weird, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and that's not like, okay, this is a scotch and this is a bourbon, you know, this is like something more important than that, although that is a very nifty skill, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, so what are these? Speaking wisdom. Well, speaking wisdom, or the utterance of wisdom, is the capacity to understand and as a result to speak wisely. There are some of you that have this gift, and one of our elders, David Walker, who doesn't like attention and would be made uncomfortable by this, he is a guy that has a spiritual gift, I think, of wisdom. And so I've been in settings with David for 20 years of ministry together, and where that seems complex and it seems overwhelming and my emotions in it and everybody's kind of confused, and David will quietly sit back and somehow in his brain he can sift through it all and quickly get to like what the main thing is. And he has this gift of wisdom. So others of you in here have the gift of wisdom. Some of you will be able to identify that gift of wisdom as you get older, but it's a supernatural something. It's not just being smart. It's something given to you by God. All right, next one. The utterance of knowledge or speaking knowledge. This gift of speaking knowledge is the capacity to remember what is learned and speak about it. Remember what is learned and speak about it. Are you one of those kind of people that when you learn something, you can quickly remember it, and then you could speak to it specifically related to spiritual things and godly things? Another one is faith. Faith is as a gift to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. I think my wife has a spiritual gift of faith. We have in several turns of our life taken really, really radical steps where we had to put it all on the line. And every one of them, she said, you know what? Yes, let's do it. God is going to take care of us. I believe that she has a spiritual gift of faith. The spiritual gift is the kind of faith that can move mountains. Or how about the spiritual gift of healing? Now it's getting ready to get interesting. The healing spiritual gift, and we will learn how to understand this together in the life of our church, is the capacity to cause someone to become healed specifically related to physical acts of healing. So in the New Testament, we saw people literally who were ill being healed by Jesus and also by the early Christians, the apostles. There have been stories of actual physical healing throughout history in the life of the Christian church. We pray for healing for people who are physically ill. But you can think about this gift of healing in another way. And let me illustrate it by this. Amanda McCoy, who is a member of our church, has just gone to serve in East Africa. And we have a photo of her. There she is. Yeah, well-timed photo. So this is a picture she sent us this week. She's right here. I'm going to point to her shoe. She's right here. This is Amanda. Hey, Amanda. She is gone there, and she's a trained doctor. She's an orthopedic surgeon. And she's given 2 years of her life to serve in a hospital where people that are of little resource come in and are helped. She sent me this week a message where it said this, and this is, I think, an evidence of the fact that she has a spiritual gift of healing. Here's what she said. She said, "By God's grace, I made a smooth transition returning to the operating room after being away from operating room for 3 months. Listen. At times, I received God's divine inspiration when the equipment was different than what I was accustomed to using." And so you say, well, how did that work? Well, she may, in fact, have what's being listed here as a spiritual gift. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a mystery there to me, but I hear her saying, there was a moment in the operating room where I had to use a medical device, and it's like I received something unique and supernatural from God where I was able to use a piece of equipment to help somebody that I was not able to use otherwise. I mean, that could, in fact, be this spiritual gift of healing. So the list goes on. Working miracles. What does this mean? Well, the wording actually means it's a deed that you're able to do manifesting great power, supernatural acts other than physical healings. Now, if you're wondering, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm new to this church, or I've just come to this church for the first day today, and is this what would be described as a charismatic church? It's not. This would not be categorized as a really highly charismatic church, okay? But we certainly do want to like look at the scriptures and be like, okay, Paul's talking to the Corinthians about the spiritual gifts, and some of them are very unique and special and supernatural. And what I don't want to do is say, well, that doesn't work today. Because essentially what we're doing is saying, God, you cannot work today in the way that you worked in the first century. And there are theologians that have found ways to kind of read the scripture to believe that God doesn't work in this way. I don't know about you, but I go, hey, if we're going to be the glory of Jesus Christ on display, if we're going to be more than a social club, then we better believe that God's Spirit can work supernaturally in us and through us to do something awesome. Can I get an amen from that? So I don't completely understand it, but if you're ill and you come to me and ask me to pray for you, I'm going to pray, first of all, that you'd be healed physically. And then I'm going to pray, second of all, that if you're not healed physically, that God would work the work in you that he wants to while you're ill and suffering. I want to believe it. There have been a few times with my own kids where they've been ill or hurt, and I've just prayed healing over them, and the next day they wake up, and it's like maybe they weren't as hurt as we thought, or maybe they were in fact healed. I don't know. And we'll say, hey, maybe God healed you. Awesome. Glory to God. I'm not saying I have the gift of miracles. If I did, I would say, God, I want to get rid of 50 pounds, and you would, there'd be a line, right? Some of y'all would be like, oh, heal me of that, So the list goes on, prophecy. Now, prophecy is a really interesting one, because when I say the word prophet, you think to yourself that guy on the TV, that's like the world is going to end in 2018, whatever. And those guys are actually talked about in the scripture in the Old Testament as being, if there's a prophecy made, if a prediction of what's going to happen in the future, and it doesn't come true, they need to be stoned. I mean, it's kind of a radical thing. But that is, and I don't mean stoned. I mean like throw rock. Okay, so we're not going to put this sermon on the podcast because my mom listens, and I'm embarrassed right now. So anyway, prophecy, this is interesting. This is one of the spiritual gifts that we're told to pursue or to desire. Everybody, not just me, not just you, everybody is to desire to pursue. It's something like preaching, okay, the gift of prophecy, but it's not identical to it. It is not the delivery of a carefully prepared sermon. So you don't have to be a preacher to have the gift of prophecy. Here's what the gift of prophecy is. It's the uttering of words directly inspired by God. Now, we're not saying that God is giving you words that have the same authority as the words of the Bible, but it's the ability to speak on behalf of God in a way that is God. Crazy. I mean, I love it. The function of the gift of prophecy is to build up, to exhort, and to console. And the scriptures say we ought to pursue this gift. Now, I want to say about this gift and all the rest of them, then I'm going to go on and finish the list, is that all of them must be done in the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says that all of the spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and for the glory of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is needed for all of these. And so really, that's the work that we work. Some is go, okay, how can I be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing in me and through me? How can I put myself in a position where I'm closer to God and so that God's Spirit that is within me is filling me up so that I can be living into my spiritual gifts for the glory of God? And see, you won't think that's a big deal if being a part of the church isn't a big deal, or if you don't understand that the church is meant to put the glory of Jesus Christ on display. So the next one on the list is distinguishing between spirits. It's a discernment of spirits. It's most easily understood in this way. It's the unique ability to tell if something is of God or not of God. So a couple of weeks ago, when we were in, we went to Athens and also to Frankfurt, we were walking around in Frankfurt with a church planter, and he was telling us about his community. And while we're walking, this man walks up and immediately starts talking about God. Now, at first, I was like, oh, this is awesome, man. We're here. We're like trying to reach people for Jesus. And then it was quickly that one of the guys that was a leader of part of the team walked up, and I could tell that he was uncomfortable with it. And what he was able to do was distinguish this was not of God. In fact, this guy was a lunatic, okay? And that's not nice. He was not of God, And so I thought to myself, like, I didn't notice it right away, but he did. He was able to distinguish that this is not of God. Let's intervene. Let's not take this as if it is from God. This guy's talking. Let's bring this conversation to a close. And then he began to share stories about how in many times in ministry, he'll be places and somebody will come forward and act like a Christian, but will act, in fact, try to disrupt what they're doing. So it'll be not of God. It'll be maybe of the devil. So distinguishing between spirits, some of you have a spiritual gift. You're like, well, I don't know if I have that one. I don't know if I want that one. But some of you have it. Okay, here we go. Various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So in the New Testament, tongues are actual languages miraculously spoken by people who are not familiar with those languages. I don't completely understand that. I've never spoken in tongues. I've been in some settings where people have spoken in tongues. And typically in those settings that I've been in, I've known it's not of God because there's not, in fact, somebody else interpreting the speaking in tongues. And so I don't completely understand it. Maybe you do and you can help me. But this is what it meant in the New Testament. The language would be understood by a native speaker, a sign of God's power, and interpreted by a member of the community who miraculously had been given the gift of interpreting that language. Okay, so this is the gift of tongues. So this list that Paul gives is a list of some of the spiritual gifts, but it's not all of them, as I mentioned. And there are more. There are more spiritual gifts. I've mentioned the passages, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12 that list them. And there's really three categories of spiritual gifts. So think about where you can locate yourself in that list. Maybe you do find yourself, maybe not. There's some work to be done, no doubt. But there's really three categories of types of spiritual gifts that exist for the furthering of the mission of God in the life of the church. There's the kind of prophet category, there's the priest category, and then there's the king category. So bear with me here just for a moment. So the prophet category are those gifts like the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, distinguishing between spirits. There's other examples in the New Testament like Ephesians 4, the gift of evangelism, Romans 12, the gift of teaching and speaking. So this prophet category are the kinds of people that have that impulse to stand and to talk or to teach. Some of you have that. That impulse to stand and to talk and to teach. Some of you are here, that idea is like, that's not your impulse at all. Like you run away from that. That's not your desire. And that's okay. You may just not have gifts in that category, okay? So it'd be people that lead discussion at Loop groups or the teachers in Kids City or people that are on the stage. This is a category where my gifts are. The prophet category, okay? So maybe you find that in you and they have that impulse to stand and talk. Then there's the priestly gifts, okay? So now I'm categorizing these more broadly. The priestly gifts are the abilities based on understanding and supplying basic needs. They include encouragement and exhortation, at like Romans chapter 12, verse 8, or pastoring. And I don't mean pastoring as in like standing up and teaching, but pastoring as in like shepherding, serving, sharing, mercy. These are coming out of Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. And so sharing, mercy, helping, and healing, and then also working miracles. So these are priestly. And the impulse here for the priestly gifts is to sit and listen. So the impulse for the prophetic gifts are to stand and talk or teach. The impulse for the priestly gifts are to sit and listen. You might think of like a counselor. You know, some of you are the kind of people that when you see a need in somebody's life, your impulse is like, okay, how can I help them to get to a better place? How can I listen to them? Your impulse is, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee. Or, hey, here's a $5 gift card from Starbucks. You know, Katie, who's not here today, is in that, her gifts, she usually plays the keyboard. Her gifts are in that priestly category. And every time in each season of my pastoring life that she has noticed that I'm a little worn out, she always does a little something just to encourage me, you know, and that's a gift that she has. She, here's a note, or hey, here's a hug, or you know, whatever. So some of you have this gift, and the priestly gifts are so important. You know, they're the kind of people that when they hug you, they want to. You know, some people hug you, they don't want to. They do it because they feel like you want to hug them. But they're the kind of people that are priests. They help you feel close to God. So you have the prophetic category, the priestly category, and then you have the kingly kind of category, the king category. The king category gifts are those with the ability based on an understanding direction and group needs. So they're the organizers. In our kind of plain terms, they have the ability to facilitate collaboration, or they have the ability to see a system and implement it for the good of the church and for the furthering of the mission. The kingly gifts they have multiplication in mind, okay? Leadership in mind, administration in mind. So the people that served on the vision capture team last year helped us put together a plan for Vision 2025 is what we call it, and then also a year plan, all that stuff. So that those were king gifts put into display. Or church planner Sammy, we're going to be commissioning Sammy here in just a couple of weeks to plant a church in the southwest part of the Loop. He has some kingly gifts, some administration gifts, or the finance team, people that serve on the finance team. So you all getting my point here? The impulse for people with king gifts are listen and act. Sometimes the kings are the ones that the idea of sitting and listening just wears them out. They're the ones that are going, I'm going to listen to what's going on, and then we're going to put together a plan to move forward. All right? So you have the prophet category, the priest category, and the king category. And we all have to function in all three of these categories, just a part of our everyday Christian living. But some of you are gifted specifically in each one of those. And what I'm saying to you is live into it. It's so important. The list provided by Paul in each of these passages is lit up with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? The Holy Spirit is, this list is not the spiritual gift of sometimes what we look in the church and go, you know, what we most need in the church is more musicians. You know, music is important and it's a talent, but, or a strong back. You know, we need the gift of somebody with a strong back, or we need a techie, or we need somebody with that's patient with kids. And these things are, you know, important in the life of the church. But what I'm saying to you, though, is those things are talents. What we're really saying is we need within each one of those things, or the people that are doing each one of those things that we have in the life of the church, to actually be living into their spiritual gift, because that's what's lit up with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's alive and vibrant, and God empowers it all. No one gift is more important than the other, which was shocking to the Corinthians because they were obsessed culturally with power and status. And so they overvalued, as I mentioned, some people's contributions, and they undervalued other people's contributions. And that's, we might attempt to do that. You might think to yourself, if I'm to say to you, your gift is as important in the life of the church as my gift, you would say, oh, come on, Russell, that sounds good, but it's not true. It is true. I'm constantly trying to like give away influence and give away responsibility so that you can live in your gifts, because I really do believe that your gift is as important in the life of the church as mine. Mine's a little bit more public, but it's no more important in the life of the church. They're all value because they're from the Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. They're not man-made. Your spiritual gifts are not man-made. It's different than talent. It's a gift from God given to you because of your faith in Christ. And the spiritual gifts manifested make the church experience better for everyone. Everyone has a role because we're all going somewhere together. I mean, imagine that we were going to say, hey, let's take a trip together. Where would you want to go to a beautiful place? Where do we want to go? Fiji. I'm not prepared for that. Let's just say Denver. If we were to go from Houston to Denver, what would we need? We'd need multiple vehicles, right? We need somebody organizing the trip. We need some people that can drive, a willingness to share in the responsibility of driving. We would need somebody to figure out. My wife just gave me that look. She's like, We would need somebody to come up with a playlist, right? The playlist is important. We need somebody to figure out where we're going to stop along the way. We need somebody to figure out how we're going to pay for this thing. We need all kinds of gifts to get us from one place to the next. We are caravanning together if we were going to go to Denver. It's such a beautiful place, such a beautiful destination. And in the same way, this is how the church works. We need everybody to find their place because we're caravanning together. We're moving together on mission for something far more beautiful than the mountains of Denver or the beaches of Fiji. We're caravanning together because we get to put on display the glory of Jesus Christ. So if you say, I don't want to take my role, it would be like you being on the car ride and going, I don't want to help pay for gas. Or I don't want to take my turn driving. Rather than taking your turn driving, you're continuing to sleep. What would everybody else do? Like, hey, no way, dude. It's your turn to drive. Wake up. We wouldn't allow that for a trip to Denver, Colorado, but we, for some reason, allow it in the life of the church. What I'm saying is we don't want to allow it anymore. Everybody's got to lean into their spiritual gifts because God is doing something in us and through us. This community needs a place lit up with the Spirit of God and vibrant, the beauty of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it this week. How many places have you been where you just saw a lot of darkness? I'm going to tell you about something that happened this week that just reminded me of why we're in the community, why this community needs a beautiful display of the glory of Jesus Christ. On Wednesday, the principal of my daughter's middle school sent out a message to everybody saying that somebody was outside the school threatening to come into the school and harm people. And of course, our daughter's there and we're thinking to ourselves, well, what do we do? And they had it taken care of and actually found the people, and there's all kinds of rumors as to who it was and why they were there, all that kind of stuff. But that's like a normal way of life nowadays. Like, we know when we send our kids to school, truthfully, we know that there's a possibility of anything. I mean, we trust God, and we've gave our kids to God a long time ago. But what it reminds me of is it's a dark place. There's darkness in our community, and what I don't want to do is remove the light of the beauty of the Christian gospel or the Christians living on mission together and just let the dark get darker. I don't want to do that. I want to say, let's get in there, and let's let the light of Christ shine in these places. Let it shine in your workplace. Let it shine on your block. Let it shine in this neighborhood. Let it shine when you're eating a meal together today at lunch. Let's be that kind of church that's more than boring, more than plain, more than just something that people casually attend every once in a while on a Sunday. The community needs the glory of Jesus Christ to light it up for their good and for God's glory. So with all that in mind, you might be wondering, okay, Russell, you've made a list, you said a few things, how do I identify my gifts? Let me give you four ways I think you can identify your spiritual gifts. And by the way, the prerequisite to all of this is that you repent of your sin and you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You're saying, I want more of God in me to work through me. You first need to give your life to God and submit to Jesus Christ. And you know, the Bible says, and it's good news, that 2,000 years ago, God became flesh in the form of a man. His name is Jesus. He walked on the earth and loved people and ministered to people and helped people. He was the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. He eventually went to the cross as the sacrifice, died, was crucified, and then raised from the dead 3 days later. And that gives us the hope of having our sins paid for by him on the cross and the hope of new life in Christ. And if you believe that message, if you believe that you need your sin forgiven and you need to be reconciled to God, then you can have your sin forgiven and you, according to the scripture, go from being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God. And then the Spirit of God begins working in you and releasing or giving, however it works, your spiritual gifts. Why? Because we together get to put on display the glory of Jesus Christ. Is somebody with me? So here are four ways that I would suggest that you can, on your own, take responsibility. And then I'm going to tell you a few things that we're going to do. First of all, read the list and pray that God will give you insight. Read it through the lens of the prophet, priest, king. But there's about 22, between those four passages, there's about 22 that are listed there. And read it and pray, God, would you give me insight? Which one of these gifts are mine? Second thing you can do, ask someone who knows you. What do you see in me? What do you see in me? You know, it's very difficult to see yourself clearly. All of us need people that are willing to speak truthfully about what they see in us. And this is one of those times where you can say, what do you see in me? Am I more prophet? Am I more priest? Am I more king? And then within those categories, what do I have the gift of evangelism, you think? Or do I have the gift of mercy? What do you see in me? Ask yourself a question. What am I good at? And what do I love? I, throughout the years, have had a few people come to me and say, you know, I feel like I'm called to preach. And I'm like, well, maybe so. So go try it. And, you know, I have the gift of leadership. And I say, okay, well, who are you leading? You know, like, what are you good at? If you're not good at speaking or not good at leading, then you may not have those gifts. But there are other gifts that you have. What are you good at? And then what do I love? For some of you, when I said that the priestly gifts, the impulse is to sit and listen, your heart just bounced forward a little bit. Because you know that's you. You love that. That's awesome. We need you to live into that. Others of you, when I said the kingly gifts, and about organizing, you listen and act, your heart raced a little bit because you're like, that's what I want to do. And there are opportunities in the life of this church and probably more importantly, in our relationships that we have in the community for those that have the kingly gifts. And of course, all these gifts can be put on display. And then we have provided on our website, actually, a spiritual gifts test, which is a little bit of kind of a mystery how it all works. But you can go to the website and go to the Mission Partner Resources, and there's a spiritual gifts test on there. Or you can just Google spiritual gifts test, find one, and it'll at least help populate your heart and your mind in terms of helping you understand which gifts might be yours, all right? And then there's some things that we're going to do. We're going to preach sermons about it. Check. We're going to foster environments where you're led to pray. Why? Because the gifts are spirit-given. So we're going to pray here in a minute, and then we're going to pray in our groups, and we're going to pray for you. And before the service, there were people in here praying in the chairs that you're sitting in. Because we believe that the Spirit of God can give you and stir up in you the gifts that you have. Lean into them. And we're going to press or to challenge or to encourage you to prioritize this. One way that we're going to do it is I'm going to keep telling you that it's not my gifts that are most important in the life of the church. It's not the musicians' gifts who are most important in the life of the church. It is our gifts. Your gifts are valuable in the life of the church. And you say to yourself, I do not want to live into my spiritual gifts. I'm not interested in that. Then what I would say to you is like, okay, come for a little bit longer, but at some point you probably should find another church. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just saying that that's the way it works here. Because that's the way the Bible describes the church is supposed to function. Not caring is not an option. Why? Because this is God's plan for the world. This is God's plan for the world seeing the living Christ. We are the body. We are a reflection of the image. We're an image of God reflecting Christ to the world. If we don't care, or if we elevate one gift over another, our church will miss out on an opportunity to be a vibrant, colorful picture of Jesus in this community. And I don't want to be like that. Our church ought to be a place where we get to say, look at what God can do. That's my prayer. I'm begging God for that, for you and for me. It's bringing people to tears, this sermon, apparently. But let's talk about that. Let's look at what God can do. What are your gifts and how do we put them on display? Let's pray on and think about these things. So right now where you are, would you just, in the quietness of this moment, ask God to reveal to you what your spiritual gifts might be? Seems to me that he will want you to know. Some of you are made nervous by this kind of a talk because it feels like one more thing to do. That's not how this works. This isn't about adding to your list. This is about you living into what you already are. You will more fully experience the presence of God in your life when you are using the gifts that he's given to you for the building up of his church to put the glory of Jesus on display. For those of you that are here and have never crossed over the line of faith, I shared with you the good news just a bit ago, and I want to invite you to take that step of faith. If your heart is quickened, if your heart is stirred to belief, then even now, in this moment, you can just simply say to God, God, I accept forgiveness for my sins. I want to enter into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. That's what you call being born again or becoming a Christian, being saved. Let me just pray for a moment here. God Almighty, I have tried to order my words in such a way that what would be awakened in all of our hearts is how important it is that each of us live into the spiritual gifts that you've given us, because that working together puts the glory of Jesus on display, which is our purpose in this community, God. But those have just been words. So God, I need your Spirit, the living, personal Spirit, to fill each individual up, to fill me up, to fill us up, God, to speak to our hearts. God, I know you won't choose to do it because I've been perfect, because I'm certainly not, but would you choose to do it for your glory, God? So we as a church community are saying, what is our place in what you want to do in this church? What is our place in what you want us to do in this community, God? We want for our lives to be lit up the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we want to deploy our gifts together for your glory. And God, we don't take that as one of multiple options of how to do church. We, in fact, God, we take that as the option, the way prescribed by you and your holy word. And so, God, that's what I'm going to call us to. And that's what I'm going to live into myself, Lord.